Welcome back. It's the 12 Days of Human Design series. So remember that over the course of 12 days, we're looking at every member of my family who are all generator types. There are 8 manifesting generators and 3 generators at the time of this recording. We're still waiting on a baby. And what I really want to unpack with you is how we are all so different. You would never look at one person and then look at another person and think, oh, well, they're exactly the same because they're manifesting generators. We are all completely different. So in this 12-part series, I'm walking you through the nuances in each person's design, a few of the nuances, not the whole nuance. So today we're looking at my son Samuel's fiance Zoe's chart. That was a mouthful. She just turned 24 and they just got engaged last week. Have your own chart handy as we go through this episode so that you can relate what I'm covering here to your own life. I will always try to bring it back to your own design so that you get something out of it too. If you don't yet have your human design chart, pause this episode and go to my website, vickidixon.com, to download it for free. You can do that on your phone. You can do that as long as you're not driving. I know you're probably walking or driving, so you can always come back and do it later.
Welcome to Unjaded. I'm your host, Vicky Dixon. This is a podcast with a human design spin on building the life, the relationships, and the business that you were made for. Let's dive in.
So Zoe is a 5-1 generator. She's an empath, and I'm going to spend some time on this today because this is a really big difference between her and Samuel. Remember from his little overview yesterday that he is deeply emotional. So in her openness, she'll amplify his emotions. Why is that? Because remember that when you're looking at your own human design chart, any of the places where you are open, that's where you not only soak in energies of others, where you are more susceptible to conditioning, not the only place, but more susceptible to conditioning. It's also where you will amplify those energies back in out into the world. So in Zoe's openness, in this open emotional solar plexus, she will amplify Samuel's emotions. And remember that he's deeply emotional, right? About half of the population is emotionally defined, and the other half amplifies the emotions back into the world until it's aware. So if you have been working with your human design for a while and you have an undefined emotional solar plexus, I hope that you have a little bit better handle on how not to amplify that back, how to let emotions run through you, how not to feel like you're always being pulled in a million directions and like that the emotions are uncomfortable for you and that you're being dramatic and all of those things. So I'm not going to cover the basics of being a generator and all that that entails in this episode. If you want to do a deep dive into the generator type, go back to episode 3. I go through everything about generators there, and that's linked in the show notes for you so that you can go back and listen to it if you're a generator or someone in your life is a generator. So as I said, we're going to start with this undefined emotional solar plexus of Zoe's. As a reminder for you, when you're looking at your own chart, this is the large triangle on the right-hand side near the bottom of your chart. You can see in Zoe's chart in the show notes that it's white. It's not colored in. So if you are an empath, if you have an undefined emotional solar plexus, it will be white in your chart. If it's defined, it will be colored in. In my family, at the time of this recording, 3 people in our family have an open emotional solar plexus. Zoe, my daughter Andrea, and my husband Pete. I keep saying at the time of this recording because there are babies due any day now. And by the time you're listening to this episode, they'll be here. I'll have to change the wording on that, I guess, later on or update you on it. So the emotional solar plexus packs a punch. And for Zoe, it's completely open. So what that means is that she doesn't have any gates defined there at all. So where you're undefined in a center, it will be not colored in. It will be white. But you may have gates that are colored in or defined within that. So that's an undefined center. For Zoe, it's completely open, which means there are no gates defined in that center. And nothing is good or bad in human design. It just is. So when a center is completely open, it means that you don't have anything to filter the energies of that center through. There's no frame of reference for you for the energies of the center. So for Zoe, she doesn't have a filter or a lens for emotional energy. She just soaks it all in. Zoe is a nurse. And I can only imagine how this must play out for her some days in a busy hospital setting where a lot of people's emotions are in overdrive. And she lives with my son, who is designed to be emotional, right? And all of this emotion is coming at her all the time. With her open emotional solar plexus, she doesn't only feel the emotions of those around her, she amplifies them back into the world. Feelings feel bigger for her. And she may think that there's something wrong with her because of this, or maybe she just thinks that's the way life is. She could think there's something wrong with the other people around her because they aren't feeling what she's feeling. She may not realize that other people don't feel things as deeply as she does. A lot of times, people with an open, especially children with an open emotional solar plexus or an undefined emotional solar plexus, are told they're dramatic. They're making too big of a deal of things because things do feel better for them. The biggest downfall with this open emotional solar plexus is to fall into people pleasing and conflict avoidance, because feelings just feel so big for you if you have this undefined. It's really important to understand with this center undefined that you're here to be a sieve and not a sponge. You're not here to be emotional. You tend to be more emotional than the emotionally defined beings, but you're not here to be emotional. You're here to be wise about emotional energy and feelings. When emotions get too high and it becomes really uncomfortable for you, it's best to take a break, to break auric space, to get out of the aura of the person whose emotions are feeling big to you. Take time on your own for a bit and always come back to this question: is this mine? That's like your saving grace. When you're feeling an emotion really big, is this mine? And if it's not yours, you got to let it go, because you're a sieve and not a sponge. So that's your undefined emotional solar plexus. Check your own chart and notice if yours is white or colored in, because it is a big piece of the human design puzzle. And with half of the population defined and half undefined, there's going to be someone in your life who is opposite to you. Like, that's just the way life works, right? So if yours is defined, episode 12 of the Unjaded podcast goes into how that works in detail for you and all that it means. And we're going to link that episode in the show notes for you as well. So remember that human design is all about the nuances. It's never just one piece of your chart. It's how everything plays together. And that's the point of this whole series, so that you can see how the layers, how the things layer on each other. So as always, a fifth line profile. Fifth lines are karmic mirrors. They have a really unique way of looking at the world, and projection is a regular part of their experience of life. Often fifth lines say that they never feel like they quite fit in, because they really understand that there's something different about them. They don't understand what it is, but they just get that it's like a square peg trying to fit in a round hole. They're magical, but they don't always feel that. They're visionary leaders. So people project onto them, and then they feel like people are projecting even when they're not. And then they project back onto others things that need to come up for healing, right? So that's a whole ball of fun. And she and Samuel are both fifth line profiles. She's a 5-1 and he's a 3-5. And I really would love to be a fly on the wall sometimes and see how that plays out for them. It's got to be an interesting piece of the dynamic. So gate 19 is a theme in Zoe's design, and we're going to talk about that as well. When I say something is a theme in the design as we go through this series, it's because it repeats. So if you have a gate in your own human design chart that is defined more than once, so when you look at the numbers on either side of your chart, you'll see, when you look at Zoe's chart in the show notes, you'll see that gate 19 comes up 3 times. And when you look at your own chart, you can look and see, well, is there a gate that shows up more than once for me? That's a theme. So people with gate 19 are defined as highly sensitive persons. They're often able to communicate with animals and with the spirit world, and they feel things very deeply. Layer that with the open emotional solar plexus, and you've got someone who moves gently because she's afraid of the world bumping up on her. So she moves gently through the world. And I don't mean like that she's afraid, that she's a fearful little thing. I don't mean that. I just mean she's so highly sensitive. She may be sensitive, or you may be, if you have gate 19 defined in your chart, to textures, to different tags in clothing, different brands of foods. I can tell you that she's sensitive to the texture of mushrooms, that's for sure. Her natural genius lies within her ability to be sensitive. But there are probably many days that she'd love to shut this off, and many ways the world has kicked her around and tried to toughen her up. I always picture little ones with this energy as kind of holding themselves in tightly. And I wish you could see what I was doing with my body right now. But you know, when you hold yourself in tightly against the cold, or against, you know, you wrap something around you. That's how I picture children with this gate 19, because the world feels rough against them. And they're always holding themselves up against the onslaught. I hope that makes sense. Sensitivity sometimes isn't celebrated in our society, and it should be, because it's a gift. And this is a huge gift in Zoe's life. With this as a theme in her chart, this ability to be highly sensitive is a gift. I always hope with kids with this energy that that is somehow honored in the families that they choose to come into, because it's amazing. It's an amazing thing to have. So again, that remembering the layers of the chart, this fifth line profile will add some discomfort to the sensitivity, because it's always about how the pieces fit together. So moving along to another theme in her design, she has gate 13 defined a couple of times. This is the gate of the listener. The entire channel is defined for her, and it's often referred to as the prodigal. I want you to keep in mind the empath, the highly sensitive person, the fifth line profile, and now this channel. She's a keeper of secrets. Often people will dump their secrets on her uninvited. She's the person in the room who people will gravitate towards and tell her all of their woes, and then she's left holding the bag or holding the feelings, and she needs to retreat. Her fifth line also calls her to retreat. So this gate 13, so it's 1333, is the channel that's defined for her, and there's retreat built into that place in her design, and there's also retreat built into the fifth line profile. The fifth line profile needs time away on its own. And she's a nurse. I keep saying this. She's a nurse. So how's she going to get away from all of that stuff? Like, there must be times where it just feels like a lot in her body. So what I really hope you're seeing in these little snapshots of my family is the nuances. I hope that you can see how your design layers upon itself. Yes, there will be places in your design that are a little bit harder to work with or feel like they don't quite match up, but there's a lot more places where they do match up and where it's like all things are leading us to the same path, right? It's never about a label. It's never about, oh, you're this type, so that. It's always about the whole, because you're a whole person with many things that make you you. Zoe is way more than a generator who has work force and life force energy and gets frustrated, because that's what we think about generators, right? But look at all of this sensitivity in her design. To stop at her being a generator would be a disservice to her, because she's so much more than that. Human design is the biggest invitation to come home to yourself. When you're ready to have a reading, when you're ready to look deeply into all of the things that make you you, and to take a look at all of the nuances in your design and what direction they're pointing you in, you're ready for your own human design reading. Together, we'll spend, 75 to 90 minutes, and we go deep. If it's relationships, if it's business, if it's personal things, purpose, conditioning, karma, all of those things are in your design, and we spend a lot of time talking about it in a reading. So that you can move forward, so that you can move forward and really understand the gift that you are on the planet. Remember that life is going to kick you around. Your human design is going to help you to stay unjaded. Rather, understanding your human design is going to help you to stay unjaded. So listen in tomorrow for the next in the series. We're going to go over Emily's chart. Emily is the middle of my three children. Right now she's a mom of two, but by the time you're listening to this, she'll have added another little one to the mix. And I think in her design, we are talking a little bit about her Saturn return, if I'm not mistaken, because she's just come through that and it's a magical, magical time. So if you have someone in your life who is around 30 or around 58, you will get some good juice on that. Em's also an undefined throat as well. She's the only person in our family to date with an undefined throat. So we'll be unpacking the goodness around that as well.